I just want to take a brief moment and thank members of the Planning Commission and Council for that matter, but the Planning Commission for jumping ahead, so to speak, working on this agenda and getting a head start. And I think that's a very good decision. We appreciate that very much. And we look forward to working with the Planning Commission as always. Doing the right thing. I know that we don't always agree, but I think most of the time we do. And it's just something good to get our heads together from time to time. And you know, I'm sure council is open to this too. It may have been last year we talked about, well, maybe we ought to meet again sometime, maybe half a year, or see how things are going. And if that's what you'd like to do, if council thinks that's the right thing to do, depending on how we're doing and, you know, advancing on the agenda, then certainly we're open to that too. Whatever it takes to get things done that we need to be done. And there's some wonderful items on here that certainly need to be looked at and accomplished. I guess my own thought was in looking at them is what is the highest priority, what's the most important, the thing, so to speak, to get us into problem quicker than anything else. And well, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure we can talk about the priorities as well, and maybe these are our priorities. So with that, I'll just sit down. Bill, thank you for your leadership and the leadership on the plan. We appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you know that. We could not do it without the Planning Commission looking ahead on the issues that come up. And so we all appreciate that.
Does that mean we're going to get a raise?
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned it. Even though the economic times, the financial times, and I could, I think we have talked about it, but I think doubling it would be the thing to do.
And we'll give you a free lunch on Thursday.
All right. Well, I think the finish the show, in our spirit of magnanimity, we are going to forego our goal.
We've got a special lunch too Thursday, by the way.
Very special. Oh, I've got a great to that.
Richard can go into that after that. <his comments. laughs> And Roger is at another function. He'll be here. We hope it wouldn't take more than 30 minutes.
So they should be set up for two attaboys.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and we appreciate the opportunity to meet with the City Council and give you, you know, an overview on the action agenda as we kind of see it for next year. We've worked on this for, I guess, the last two or three meetings, and what I would propose here is I'll give you a very brief overview on each of these points, answer any questions you have, and then we'll turn it over to Richard to actually decide what goes on the action agenda and what order and that kind of thing. The first six items that you see on the first page are really carryovers from the previous or the current year. Come in, Mr. Smith. We're just starting.
I tried to time it perfectly.
Too much.
And then on the second page, there are seven other kind of new issues that, as I say, I'll touch on all of these, and I will, on some of them, I'll give you a sort of a perspective on whether we consider it to be a high priority relative to all the others or a low priority. Or a mid-priority, and then ultimately you'll decide, you know, based on how you see things. So the first one is expansion of the comprehensive plan to the east. And the other attachment that you were given was the recommendation that we sent to you in February, and I think at your February 10th meeting, you indicated that you wanted to talk about this recommendation when we got together tonight. And basically, what the recommendation, it was a two-part recommendation. One was that we recommended that a guideline, a comprehensive plan boundary guideline, be established. We haven't had that before. And as a result, over the years, we've had some interesting lines established. The yellow is our current comprehensive boundary, and the blue is our water district, and then the green is our sewer district. And as you can see, we've got some anomalies here where the comprehensive plan goes clear outside our sewer and water district down here. And the comprehensive plan, as you know, is a guide to help guide the development of an area. And city services are the incentives that we provide to try to help influence the development. So here's an area where we don't provide city services, yet it's in our comprehensive plan area. There's some others here, up here, and then most recently when the Northside Comprehensive Plan Task Force drew the boundary, they drew a line that just kind of ran outside of our water and sewer here. So when we started talking about your request to consider expansion to the east, one of the things that we ran into was there were several points of view as to where that line ought to be drawn, and they were all right because it was opinion. And I think what's happened over time is different volunteer groups have drawn the line based on what they thought was the right thing to do at the time. So what we were recommending is that just like the comprehensive plan is a guideline, that we develop a guideline or adopt a guideline that says the boundary of the comprehensive plan should coincide with our water district line. Except up here, because our water district line goes clear up to the end of Aiken County. So what we would have to do is decide where we want to draw it here. Maybe this is the right place, but that's the first recommendation, was to clean up all of these areas so that the water district line would be the comprehensive plan boundary. The other recommendation as far as expanding to the east, attached to the recommendation, you'll see a map, and it's the second map, and there are two areas that we recommended that we include or expand the comprehensive plan area. The first one is between Toolbeck and Charleston Highway, this area in here, and then the other one is the Rudy Mason Parkway. Right now is the comprehensive plan boundary area, yet our water district goes over here, so we were recommending that you move it on over to the water district. So our recommendation to you in February was two-part. One, establish a policy on the comprehensive plan boundary, and two, to expand slightly to the east in those areas that are shaded. Is that an accurate update on the recommendation? So I guess the question is, do you have questions, and how would you like to proceed? If you want to adopt it the way we recommended it, then we would go back and come back with a formal recommendation on the exact boundary line of the comprehensive plan.
Phil, just a point of clarification. You may have covered it, but my memory is a little hazy. That large area of the sewer district to the east, what was our rationale for allowing that large portion to be simply the limits of the sewer area, but not to be, or is it contiguous? I can't tell. Is it contiguous with the water district there?
No, the water district stops here. Right, it's the blue.
Okay, so what was our rationale for extending the sewer district way, way, way out there?
This goes back to the 1970s. As I understand it, EPA set up the sewer districts. And there wasn't a Couchton-Montmorency water district at that time. And so they just arbitrarily said, Aiken, your sewer district goes That's my understanding. So that's how we got way out here. But yet this is in the Capstan-Montmorency Water District. So in the 10-year capital improvement program that we just that you just passed and we recommended and you just passed, nothing was in that for the next 10 years in terms of putting any sewer lines out here. So this area, in the foreseeable future, there's no plans to put sewer lines out here. So the question is, why would it be in our comprehensive plan area?
So theoretically, at some point, there were contemplated to put sewer lines out there, then at that point, it might... You would
no, because the money that would make it worthwhile of doing that comes from water. And as Montmorency, we're never going to get to supply water to that area. Isn't that what we always talked about? The fact that what makes it worthwhile going there
right.
would be, in fact, the fees from the water. And since that's never going to happen, we thought that it was more important to just cut inside of the sewer area, which is now designated as such, and just... Go to where the water district
does that beg the question a little bit? If it's in the sewer, if it's a boundary of our sewer district, then it's almost a circular argument. Montmorency has the water, but would we ever then put sewer out there without any ability to have? I mean, sewer is the thing that essentially drives development.
And no, water does. I think sewers are
more expensive, I think, than the water, correct?
Well,
but
really,
I guess my question really is, how is this just something we put off in the future? If we were asked or contemplated at some future date putting sewers out there, then we'd have to deal with what? Extending the comprehensive plan or extending the water?
The problem, my understanding, listening to Larry Morris, was the problem with putting sewers out there is if people didn't pay their sewage bill, you had no leverage. You had to get Montmorency to shut off their water.
So in order to get it through the point that we're never going to put sewers out.
Okay, but this is a discussion for City Council.
All right.
And really what we want to do is answer any questions that you have about our recommendation so then you can, at your next meeting or work session or whatever, decide how you want to proceed with that recommendation.
I guess I have a theory question of being a new guy on the block. Do we just have the right to decide where we're going to provide sewer and water service without regard to whether it's in the city or in the county? Can we just indiscriminately say we're going to put a sewer line out to North Augusta and go through other areas' domains?
This allows us to go into that area. It doesn't necessarily say we will.
If
that's our sewer district that was laid out some time ago, many years ago. Yes. You may not know what circumstance might come up that we have the right to do that.
No, I guess I'm even one step.
You never know whether you will or not.
Well, I mean, I'm one step before that. It strikes me as strange that we really, I don't know what the city boundaries are. I guess the city boundaries are that orange line. And if that's the case, I'm a little confused as to why all of a sudden in some cases, we ignore the city boundaries and we send water out that way. In other cases, we ignore the city boundaries and we send sewer out there. I mean, what significance does the city boundary have?
It's also based on annex, whether or not we want to annex a certain property or not.
But we're not making that decision in the annexation context.
We never will have a circular or a square or whatever you want to call it boundaries on the city.
Often we do get requests from city services.
Absolutely. And that's the way that we do get folks to join into our city limits. You can talk about this subject all night long.
I'm just trying to get ahead. That's the way we have been growing, I guess. If somebody wants water, like the dentist the other night at the council, I mean, that was way beyond our area, but we've already put the sewer pipes out there, so she asked for water, and, we said fine, and she agrees that if she ever gets contiguous that she's going to enter into the city. But I guess I'm surprised there isn't more structure to how we grow. It just seems willy-nilly to me.
Well, let's go back to the basics of the annexation.
Okay. Which I don't.
If we had different laws that we could carve our city more or less to the way we want it, at least more so than now. But then there's that other thing, too, of whether or not you want to make people come into the city because you have the privilege of doing that and the right to do that. That's a philosophical thing.
pass.
Aren't we actually going to do that with these little pockets?
May I make a suggestion here? We're on the first item, and we're 20 minutes into our... All we wanted to do was to answer any questions that you have about our recommendation, and then let you go off and have the deliberation you need to, you know, to decide what you want to do. But the two things we recommended was to establish the city water district line is the comprehensive plan boundary line, and the other one was to expand, as you had asked us to look at, expansion to the east to take in two small pieces of land. That one of which is in our sewer district but not in our water district, and the other is in our water district and in our sewer district.
Which one is the little piece on the bottom that's shaded white but orange around that? What is that?
That's Toolback Road. Oh, this is Toolback Road right here.
That's Charleston Highway.
Yeah, and this is Charleston Highway.
Where's East Aiken Elementary? Do you know where that is on that map?
It's
over there. Yeah.
It's right there off of Richmond. But beyond Woody Mason.
It's to the right.
It's in that green area.
It's crossing 78.
Right in here.
Okay.
And East Aiken Elementary already is on city water and sewer, is my understanding.
Phil, my view on this thing is y'all make a recommendation. I mean, I see nothing wrong with what you've done here. Oh, I think there's got to be a lot further discussion by council, because it's just one of those issues that do we put in stone, so to speak, how far are we going to go in that city, and or not, or are we going to have some leeway? I realize, as you've said already, this is a guideline. But we'd rather not be breaking the guidelines unless you have to. But there might be some situations that come up that say, yes, we ought to do that. I don't think they ought. I think we have to take, personally, I think we have to take each one of them as it comes.
You may not want it. You may not want a guideline. And we just, we threw it out there because we found that we were arguing about including areas, and it was opinion. I mean, there wasn't any fact. It was just opinion. And we said, well, here's at least a way to get a stake in the ground. And it's kind of like with a comprehensive plan. We say it's a guide, but we'll follow it unless there's a compelling public reason not to.
The two areas you pointed out should be changed. It's that big area there. I don't know. I'm speaking for myself now.
It seems to me we also discussed, is it Shaw Street, whether that should, I think, Wilkins, didn't you bring up the fact that our water supply and sort of a conservancy area is in that, your line there does not include it.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that, like I say, there were differing points of view, all legitimate, and that's what really kind of drove us to say, let's recommend to council we establish some kind of a guideline, and then if they don't want to, that's fine, or if they want to establish their own guideline, that's fine too.
So we need the guideline. There's nothing wrong. It's been a guideline for all these years, too. I mean, the comprehensive plan says that.
Does it make any difference what the property owners think?
Sure.
Yes, it does.
I can say that, but they're not involved in this process at all. I mean, we're sitting around a table here. We're deciding the green line's going to be fine, or the orange line's going
to
be fine.
Who is the leadership in the city to make some of these decisions? We can't always be going to every individual saying, what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? I think that's why we're elected and appointed to do a job, and this is what we're here talking about, laying out a guideline.
We're elected by city residents, not by these people whose property we are deciding that we're going to give them sewer service or water service. I mean, they're not
if they
part of our constituency.
The people that might say they want it, and then we make a decision, yes or no, is it economical to do that? Just like we did over on Toolback Road. Remember when that wanted to develop that area, and we looked at the cost of the houses and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
We decided no.
Yeah, well, we have sewers all the way out to the 20 and beyond.
Absolutely.
And most of that's not even city.
We've had a couple already come into the city. One is where, no, it's not in the city, but they want to have services. So they're paying double five services. They're at landscaping, they're going by all of our ordinances, and it's making the area look nicer, whether or not they're in the city. That happens because they want to have services.
I guess I'm just confused. I don't understand
what's wrong with that.
Well, this discussion...
You'll never get a city boundary.
I think what we need to do is to take your recommendation seriously. I think it makes sense to me. And I don't know that we need to go that far out where we would have to make decisions about what people can do with their property. And I think if they get our water and get our sewer, that we have a stronger hand in telling them what they can do. Because we already say that if you want this, this is what you have to do. You have to abide by our rules. We already say that. And so make them match. Don't go out there in that white area where just because we've got sewer out there. A little piece on the bottom where Toolbeck Road is, I think it makes sense to have that in the plan.
Well, whatever you decide, just tell us and we'll go back and rework whatever we need to. But we just wanted to give you the opportunity to hear our thinking and answer any questions, and then let you deliberate it.
What is that up there? The orange is below, and then you got water and sewer out there.
That's all.
With this,
I-20.
This is I-20. And our water district, really, our water district, this is an imaginary line because, as I understand it, our water district on the north goes clear up to, Mineta?
Baltimore, I think.
That's in South Carolina. But it's just, this is an imaginary line. It was drawn. And so, I mean, we can address that if we want to stay, somewhere along here, then everybody understands that was established by City Council as a northern comprehensive plan boundary, even though our water district goes way on up there. But in the next 20 years, I don't think anybody is thinking about running water lines up there.
Is this a real water district, per se? I mean, like a Montmorency district? Is it a formalized district, or is it just city services?
There's water lines going all the way up there.
But is it City of Aiken Water District? Isn't a water district a special legal entity?
Well, yes. You stated it earlier. Everything in that blue is a water district, didn't you? Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. So the City of Aiken has a water district.
Yes. Right. It's a utility that's regulated by the Public Service Commission. Public Service Commission establishes the territory.
And does it have some organization like Montmorency? Does it have its own organization like Montmorency Water District?
It's part of the government operation.
But didn't they just change the law now to put us under the Public Service Commission? See, we were a municipal water district. Nothing to do with the state or the county or anybody else.
I think as far as I know, everybody that doesn't want city water up there is on wells.
Yeah, they don't have to take it. I understand that.
So, I mean, as far as I know, because that is our water district. But let me tell you this. This is a way to get that area looking nice, though, the fact that it is the way it is now. Everybody that wants our water or sewer up there has got to abide by city ordinances.
You're going to be creating more donut holes because some people are going to want it and some people aren't going to want it.
I want to hear what you're saying. I may be wrong, but it's my understanding that a district, a utility district, has commissioners and that everybody who's in the district votes for the commissioners. So that while the law was changed so that the city water department is governed by the PSC, it's not the same as like the water district in New Wellington that has commissioners, where everybody in the district votes for the commissioners.
Because New Wellington has a separate utility. Our water and sewer operations are part of government operations. So there's not a separate commission. It's the way it's established.
Right. So like in New Wellington, everybody who's in the district gets to vote for the commissioners. But
yeah, we're getting way too focused.
Yeah.
Can we move on now? I mean, or do you want to stay with this?
No, let's move.
I don't want to shut you off, Leslie, but I just there's a lot of energy around this, I can tell.
No, I think you made your point in the bold print of your first sentence. And looking at the city water district lines and the boundaries, and that should coincide. So I think that's pretty standard for the first sentence.
And I think that's the way it ought to be.
Okay. Well, I guess you have to formally vote on that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
With exceptions, and also the two areas that we mentioned.
Right. Are we ready to move on to number two? Recall it well over a year ago, City Council created an open space task force, and they went off and have been working on a number of things. And we have retained a consultant, and they have submitted a revised draft on the open space element of the comprehensive plan. And we should have another draft by the end of next week, and then it'll come to the Planning Commission. So you won't be seeing that this year. We consider that to be a high priority item. Third one, amendments to the zoning ordinance to clarify the procedure for the approval of the design review board of the demolition of structures condemned by the building official. That really stems from an issue over on Pendleton Avenue. I think there's only been one instance where this came up, and we would consider that to be a low priority relative to all the other priorities or items that we're looking at. The question is whether it's okay for the DRB to go ahead and order demolition of a building if there's a safety issue, or if the building inspector can do it. And so that's just something that we need to wrestle with. But as I say, it apparently has only come up one time. And so as you look at from a priority standpoint, that may be a lower priority. Number four, possible amendments to the zoning ordinance regarding inoperable vehicles at commercial locations. I think in 99, an ordinance was written about this, including screening and some things like that. And the businesses, primarily auto repair shops and record establishments, were given 2 years to come in compliance. And then when we began to enforce it, I guess there was some pushback. And it's kind of been held in abeyance, as I understand it. And so that probably ought to be considered a high priority as we look at tackling all of these. And Roger, now that you've joined us, feel free to chime in.
About 6 years ago, I met with two council members and a number of individuals that own these chop shops. And two of them are on Richland Avenue, a couple of them going on Howard 1. And we had some major discussions. So the ordinance, the way it's written, they're in violation. And we said at that time, let's just hold off and review this again before we go forward. And so we also feel like this is a very high priority and something we need to be. Either we need to change the law, or we need to go ahead and enforce the law, one of the two.
Okay, thank you. Number five, possible amendments to the zoning ordinance regarding demolition and overlay district. As I understand it, that was sort of an outcome from the St. Mary's Church issue. There was some comment about maybe there's some additional amendments that need to be considered in our zoning ordinance about demolitions in the overlay district. Unless there are other known examples of that, I'm not aware of any, and I don't think Ed is, and that may be one that we would consider to be low in terms of priority.
Or possibly eliminate.
Okay, possibly.
It was, I don't want to call it a knee-jerk reaction, but it was in some aspect, it was such a high profile, we better look at everything again, and we, staff has looked at it, and we don't really feel like there really needs to be any changes. You know, you always want to go back after X number of years and re-review all these things. And so at some point we want to review it, but at this point it's either a low priority or maybe it's something you want to eliminate altogether.
I would say eliminate.
Number six, unified land management ordinance or revisions to the zoning ordinance and land development regulations. I can remember that 6 years ago when I first came on the planning commission, or seven or whatever it was. What we would suggest is the ordinance has been around since 99. We've got 9 years of experience with the zoning ordinance, and it's, in Evan's words, there's a lot of things that need to be cleaned up, kind of administratively. But the unification of that with the land development regulations is not a high priority. And so if we were going to assign priorities, we probably ought to think about it in two parts. One is getting the existing ordinance cleaned up after its 9 years of application, and that ought to be high. And then the unification with the land development regulations would be low. It might be a nice thing to do, but that's way down the road. So what we would suggest is that the staff, if we decide this is a high priority, that the staff would develop a process or an approach to deal with all these things that need to be cleaned up, and then they would propose that process to the Planning Commission. We would agree with it, and then if council agreed, then we would start that process. But it would only be dealing with the ordinance and cleaning that up and not trying to combine these two. That'd be down the road. Is that a fair description? So high on the updating and cleaning up of the zoning ordinance, low on the unification or combination. So those are the six that have been around for a number of years. There are seven other issues that we have proposed here. The first one is a review of a definition of a family. And Roger, you might want to speak to that. I think you probably have some firsthand experience with it.
Yeah, I got a lot of family members. The definition of a family right now is you can have mom and dad, and children, you can have as many children as you want, but I can only have two unrelated other people in my household other than my spouse and children. So we have gotten into some situations where we have houses that are run by social service agencies, nonprofits, it could be drug rehab, it could be other things. I personally am working with the prison ministry where you rent a house or you own a house, and you may have 3, 4, 5 unrelated people in that household, but it's supervised in some manner. Then you could have another house, though, that could have 4, 5, or 6 wild students from some local university there, and it may not be a good thing. So it's how do you define a family? And in today's vernacular, there's a lot of different things for family that you could describe as to what that situation may be. And does it make a difference if it's supervised or under some umbrella organization? So it's something that it's going to be hard to get your hands around this family issue. And if you look from a national standpoint, there's lots of definitions of family. But this has been in existence for decades, and the issue has come up. Because Dick has brought it up on a number of occasions, the same house, and trying to get the hands around, is it legal, is it not legal, and how do we deal with it? So we would like to go ahead and review this and maybe put it up to modern times as to how we want to look at families and how those homes should be looked at when they're under that larger umbrella organization.
The first time I brought it up was a unit in the bungalows. If you know what the bungalows is, it's just very tight areas. And it was a one of those that was rented out, I don't know, five students or something, and they were just killing the parking in there. So it was more of a parking concern than it was what was going on inside the house, because you had a small congested area with five separate cars and so forth. And so, hey, how many people can live in a house? And that's how I addressed it. The other one was there for his family.
When does it?
Can we somehow go? Excuse me.
I was going to ask you, when does it become our concern? When does it?
Well, when we start getting complaints, obviously, from neighbors that they have concerns, and again, it's our concern because right now a family would consist of three unrelated individuals, and that would be all. So, I mean.
I guess I was asking for my information. When do we use that definition? When do we have to use it?
Well, we've had a couple applications by some social agencies. I can think of what was that house that was it our father's house, or one was it for teenage pregnancy or something?
And they wanted
five or six. And I mean, then if you look at the case we probably have right now through the Cumbie Center, probably has some homes that are illegal from this standpoint, that the definition we have currently, with three unrelated people living in a household. We probably have half a dozen to a dozen right now that are, but no one's brought to our attention. We just feel
like. Let me see if I can get my question and ask it correctly, because I don't think I am asking it correctly. Where does the word family appear in our ordinance?
You have single family zoning districts like RS-15, mm-hmm. RS-10, RS-8. You're allowed to have one family per dwelling unit mm-hmm. in that zone.
So the definition what is of family is for
right.
Sure.
Well, Eddie, I assume it would be clear in a single, if
that's
my friend over here had a house and he wanted to rent out a room in his house, obviously he would be in violation.
Or if someone was laid off and moved into their house because their house was based on the economy, they have another choice but to move in. So you're saying
that unrelated.
Well, under the immediate family. I mean, if they're cousins and stuff like this, that's still unrelated as far as we're concerned.
Tommy and I were talking about that earlier, and I think it hasn't come up with cousins or whatever, but his comment was probably he would consider cousins to be related, but that has never come up, you know. So
I don't know why.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it's your definition.
That's the thing.
Can we have groups?
Institutional law.
Yeah, and we're not trying to resolve the issue tonight, but the thing is we feel like it's an important issue that we have to go ahead and get our hands around to determine what we describe as a family.
Well, how would you assess this in terms of high, medium, or low priority in terms of the needs of the city in addressing this and the Planning Commission getting it on their action agenda?
I would put it at a high or medium. It's something that I know Ed and I have talked about several times, and we don't like to ignore the laws, but we sometimes have to.
Okay.
That's a high.
Isn't it a matter of giving some of these homes a different label?
Well, I think so.
I believe it is, and right. It's also, you know, would you consider three unrelated in a three-bedroom home the same as a six-bedroom home? I mean, you tie with bedrooms also. I mean, there's a number of things you could look at.
Because what's Helping Hands, is that a hotel or is that an institution?
It's institutional, but it's probably not in a residential zone.
It's a group home of some sort.
Yes.
Now, do you have the same definition in an RML zone? Or is it just under like residential single family?
I guess conceivably you could get into it in an apartment complex if you have more than a family living in an apartment unit. So somebody could complain about too many people in that apartment. And then you get into, well, is that a family in there or not? So, yeah.
So family is used in the description for a property located in an RMO.
I mean, anywhere in the ordinance that the word family appears, you'll fall back to that definition of family in the back.
So it's not only under residential, it's single family.
No, it's not necessary. That tends to be where the problem comes up, in single family neighborhoods. It could come up somewhere else.
Like a unit status thing for me. Cases one. Yes, ma'am. That's an apartment complex, and so when you define family, is that more for our purposes or for the people actually owning it, who's responsible for clearing what a family is? I mean, it's a zoning issue, and it's going to be complaint based probably if somebody complains again about a neighbor
having too many people in that unit. It's up to the city to decide, do they meet the ordinance?
And we've had to enforce this ordinance in the past where we've asked people to leave.
So it's high priority, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's helpful. Number two, off-street parking in DB. I think this came out of some of the discussions with and issues that Jane Page had brought to City Council. And as I understand it, what this involves is off-street parking in downtown, both commercial and residential. And the question is that something that, you know, that we want to address in the coming year or not?
When we analyze this, talking to other cities, up to half of them that we could find actually had some kind of ordinance requiring so many parking spaces per unit or so many parking spaces. You know, but in the downtown area, we've not had this problem, but it came up as an issue. Should we ever have this problem, what should we do about it? It's kind of like the one on the first page saying an abandoned house that we're thinking about tearing down. We've never had the problem, but it's kind of like looking at it in case we ever do have the problem.
Well, if we include commercial, retail, whatever, then that could be a problem. Most of the apartments that we have downtown, I mean, they have
off-street
apartments. So that's not a problem right now. But if you talk about retail places,
I don't know. I personally, I'm just expressing opinion. As far as retail or commercial is concerned, I'd be very hesitant to make people require them to have so many parking spaces. I don't see how that's
necessary. So I agree with you there. We don't have a problem.
To do with new construction, you know,
correct.
That's really where you get in.
Well, again, are you talking about residential or commercial?
Yeah, residential, yes.
Residential, yeah. Residential. I'm not talking strictly commercial or retail.
But I think that what Jane Page was addressing was
residential.
Residential.
But even up until this time, any property that's been built in the DB has included parking.
So, and that was the debate. Said, well, any builder with common sense would include it. That was the debate. But in fact, every once in a while, there's a dope. It could be.
I would think for that.
There aren't going to be very many people who
would
buy a condo downtown area without an ability to have a parking.
Yeah, I don't know how they would sell it if it didn't.
That'd be a hard sell.
I agree.
Okay, number three, Olakin Master Plan status. About 4 years ago, we adopted the Olakin Master Plan, and there were benchmarks in there, short-term benchmarks in 1 to 3 year, medium term 3 to 5, and then long term was 5 and longer. And so we are well into or past the short term benchmarks, and we're in the middle of the medium. So, you know, we probably, and that's probably not going to be a very time intensive, correct me if I'm wrong, yeah, that's more of a staff update, and then we'll have to look at what it says and what needs to be done. But probably that ought to be a fairly high priority just to keep the Old Lincoln Master Plan current.
Did we eliminate two?
Yeah, I think we kind of saw some heads nodding low on number two.
I would think that would be pretty medium. If we're already past...
You mean number three?
Uh-huh. If we've already passed a four-year period where we've not met some deadlines, we probably need to take a look at it.
Okay. Yeah, as a commission, I certainly agree with that. Number four, expand Old Lake and Overlay eastward. Well, it was expanded eastward, and then I guess council has expressed some thoughts to including the rest of Old Lake and into the Old Lake and Overlay district, which would be primarily the north part of Old Lake, because now we've got, I think, most everything south of Richland, roughly. So the question is, how high a priority do you view that?
It's not a lot of work.
I would say high. Let's just get it done.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a model set already, and just do a lot of advertising and informing people and just do it.
I think, yeah, I can remember they were concerned about being able to afford.
And that's why in the eastern portion, we changed the way the regulations were worded so that it was only for new homes or homes that were going to be remodeled by 50% or more would these apply to, not just remodelings.
Okay, number five, revision of land development regulations and possibly unified land management ordinance. This was written back in 1987, and in the opinion of Ed Evans, even though this is important, it is less important than updating and cleaning up the zoning ordinance. So in the greater scheme of all these 13 possible items, we would recommend it to be a low. Is that right? Yet?
And then cut, drop for this year. I mean, it's not going to happen this coming year.
Yeah.
We have made revisions since 87, along the way, just kind of pulling it, looking at it all as one document instead of looking at it piecemeal. So
I know that six has been we're going to stick with five.
Well, I think we just finished with five. I think we said that would be a low, so we're going to move on to six, Leslie.
I know that six has been an issue that the Planning Commission has discussed. The only concern about six is that when someone purchases property, they have no idea that these trees have been removed or what was there. Mm-hmm. And to penalize someone for lack of knowledge. So that's my statement with six in terms of the removal of trees prior to request and this time delay.
That kind of gets to be an opinion whether somebody did it on purpose or whether they didn't know how far out did you go if we do this? Well, 3 months before the annexation request comes to you, or 6 months? That's a tough one.
And I think it matters whether the person who did the clearing is applying for annexation versus someone, a third party buying it and applying for, second party buying it and applying for annexation. If I buy the property because I want to be in that spot, but I didn't know it had a whole lot of trees on it 2 years beforehand or 5 years beforehand. If I didn't know that, but I still want to be there, I don't know why I would need to be penalized for what somebody else did to the land, unless there's on record where you have turned it down because they clear-cut it. But I think it matters whether the person who's trying to annex it actually did the cutting. I think that matters to me.
It's one thing to do it while they're annexing, when it's in progress or something else, if they do it 3 months earlier, maybe 2 months earlier, and then they come to you.
Right. I think
if your word against theirs,
you know, whether they knew about it or not.
You'd never prove intent. It'd be almost impossible.
Sounds like this is a level. Or no.
I don't know if we take that off. So that was my idea, so let's take that off.
Take it off.
Totally. Okay, number seven, evaluate the need for ordinance amendments to limit the intensity of development on open spaces that may be lost. And Wilkins, if you don't mind, I'll let you talk to that, because this was your idea.
Bill and Ed kindly let me add this proposal. I've had contacts from a number of figures that many of you know, Lucy Knowles, Dacre Stoker among them. One's interested not only in horse issues, but in open space and the natural world. And they pointed out that we may assume a little too much in some of the parts of town, Horse District and RSS, where we currently have the pleasure of some big open spaces that we might assume will stay that way, but which they fear are perhaps a lot more vulnerable than we realize. These might range from properties, and I don't mean to sound threatening about any of these, but their concern is that the ownership situations of many of these properties are less certain, less guaranteed than a lot of us had assumed. And to get back to the point, these might include some of the extensive properties owned by the Whitney Trust. They might include the training track. They might include even the Green Boundary Club property, which, as some of you may know, the club is one entity. The ownership of the property is in the hands of a different entity. Those are just examples that they felt were critical areas, but which might be more vulnerable than we realize, and they ask that we bring this up as a potential area for consideration. I don't know that they have any specific aims or goals or proposals at this moment, but there are several ideas. One of them, as respects sub-item one, this hardscape issue, relates to the degree to which any given property in those areas might be covered either by building or by pavement or by anything impermeable, so to speak. The idea being to ensure that a lot is not built out to its setback areas. And the other point, number two there, density on open spaces that might be lost in development, goes back to the first issue that I spoke of, just their concerns that we should at least look at the situation with respect to some of these big properties that are not sure things. Is there anything I could try to do to clarify some of those points or answer other questions?
Wilkins, is there an element of legality involved? In other words, number one, you're talking about hard space, you're talking about paving, in other words, you've got, I mean, let's take the Whitney Trust. Could you legally say that they can't put too much hardscape on there, or they've got to keep it as open space? You get into the area of taking or affecting the value of the property, limiting development and so forth?
Well, certainly, as all of you know, legality is certainly involved in any kind of ordinance. I don't mean to be a smart aleck.
No,
there. But takings law, and Richard, I'm sure, is much more precise on it than I am. But ultimately, in my view, it boils down to the necessity to compensate a property owner if you remove either an existing use or, more particularly, if you deprive them of any reasonable economic use of the property. I do not personally recognize, of course, there's always a devil in the details of these things, but I do not personally recognize any extreme red flag on this hardscape issue, it's not that different from saying the setbacks on a given lot must be 50 feet as opposed to 25 feet or 100 feet as opposed to 70 feet. It's just a degree with which the city accepts a particular usage. There are lots of justifications for it, I think, lots of examples. We would certainly not be in the vanguard, or at least not in the edge of doing things of this nature. But there again, that's for our legal team to speak to ultimately.
Right, and I'm sure Gary and Ben will do that. It's an issue that the Equine Committee's been discussing, and the hardscape is not just pavement, but it's also buildings, too. So that the idea was to come up with a percentage or some sort of formula so it doesn't prevent all reasonable development on the lot, but the extent of the development on the lot.
But in terms of kind of assessing this from a priority standpoint, the guideline we've applied to some of the other things is what's been the frequency or what's the likelihood, and do you have a sense of whether there have been instances where there have been problems caused by our current ordinances not being in other words, does this need to be addressed?
The group that brought it to my attention feels like there is a recent, fairly significant poster child, and I think, again, to be very candid with all of you, I think they feel quite edgy about what might happen with the training track property. Maybe those are two answers.
Let me ask this question. Properties that is left in trust, are there not specific things said about how that property should be held when it's left in trust?
The short answer is yes, there are, but rarely do those restrictions absolutely lock in the potential for a changed use. You may remember the Whitney Trust, again, not to right. pick on them, I think they've been a magnificent public citizen in Aiken, but not that long ago, they sold the strip along the Polo Field and Knox Avenue to build a series of houses along the southern boundary of that Whitney Polo Field. And although I've never studied the Whitney Trust entailment documents, apparently that was permitted. I think Julian Sally, by my recollection, was one of those who was involved in it. To jump to others, the train track, as I understand it, is in what you might speak of as either a corporate or a partnership ownership, and I do not think there are any specific limitations other than our existing zoning limitations that would tie those hands. Richard, did you have a...
Well, the Equine Committee discussed this as well. The problem comes in when the trust de-accesses or sells the property, that it's not in the trust at all, it's just in the market. And then you really don't have any restriction on it at all. But that's the concern. And I think in working with the Board of Zoning Appeals over maybe the last year or two, there have been probably, to answer your question, Bill, maybe half a dozen instances of either proposed uses they, you know, were trying to get either a special exception or variance for. So it has come up with some regularity, particularly in the areas that the item lands. And that's why the Equine Committee really decided to come meet, because they considered it an issue, but again, that's for Planning Commission and Council to say whether it really is an issue since Equine is advisory.
I think the immediate impetus for that was that Phil Mary's old house.
This goes back to Aiken and his character. There are certain pieces of property in this town, in the historic district especially, that has helped to sell Aiken and market Aiken with his character and start dividing it and changing the complexion of those properties. Then you're changing the character of Aiken. So, but then the other, that's one school of thought for me. The other school of thought says that if you've got this family that's lost his it's all the stock and the scrap for cash, they're going to sell everything we've got. So call it selfish or what have you. But right now we're thinking about Amy's character and what that brings to this town. I think that if someone is faced with some financial concerns, and there should be other avenues, thought processes in terms of trying to get the cash versus selling off and getting quick money and leaving and doing some taking the confession of the property.
Those good points, you know, could be part of this evaluation process on where council decides, if anywhere, that Aiken should go. And Bill, I would slow to answer your question. If I had to characterize the urgency issue as expressed to me, I would say they feel medium to high.
Mm-hmm. Let me understand. Are we talking about separate ordinances, or are we talking about addressing this through enhancing existing zoning requirements? Can this be accomplished? In other words, instead of trying to piecemeal separate ordinances, can't we accomplish it by looking at the ordinance for HBRS or RSH to incorporate some of these things within existing zoning?
Is that I don't have any preconceptions about the right course. Offhand, I would say I expect many elements of this could be achieved by adjusting existing provisions. There may be aspects that would require an additional endeavor.
Again, it just seems to me that would be a more comprehensive approach.
That would be a good suggestion, I think.
Well, do we want to just capture this as a high priority so we could move on to then looking at the total list and deciding within the highs, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever.
We did change the zoning, I think, if I'm not correct, to remove the percentage that can be developed. Is this an outgrowth of that?
You changed the ordinance as to the accessory building not being limited to a certain portion of the heated space of the principal residence. Yeah. That was the presentation you had before, so you have removed that.
And yeah, we did that without concurrence to the Equine Committee, as I recall.
That was,
they wanted an opportunity to take another look at it. Is this as a result of that?
I would say this has some tangential relationship to that. The provision removed did not really ensure anything about the maximum coverage on that. And so I'd say they're related, but I wouldn't say that inspired this.
They were looking, I think, just so you know, because I say that on the Equine Committee meetings, they decided that maybe making accessory buildings a certain proportion of the principal residence may not have been the best approach, and that was the frustration with that ordinance.
Right.
However, they thought maybe the opportunity then presented itself to kind of look at the total property and determine what would be a reasonable amount of the extent of development on a particular one.
Yeah.
Kind of back out and start over.
Ed, properties in the horse district, such as the train track or Whitney Field, large expanses of property like that, is there not an ordinance in the books now that states that they can divide that property?
In horse district, it's a minimum lot size of 10 acres. So any new lot has to be at least 10 acres. In RSS, it's 3 acres. And that was added in 1996.
So if the Whitney Field were to sell, and it would be 10 acre properties.
I can't remember if that's RSS or HD, but.
Or training track. It's on board.
But the training, I'm sorry, the training track is in the HD zone, and it strictly prohibits residential construction without BZA approval. And then they would have to go before the design review board to get approval of whatever they wanted to build, whether it's a stable or a house or what. So, and then if they want to rezone, you know, from HD to RS-15, then they got to go through the Planning Commission, the City Council, and then DRB. So, I mean, there are safeguards. The question is whether they're adequate given the current environment. Okay, well, that pretty well wraps up our list. Now, I think what we're going to do is actually identify the numerical order of these items. And Roger, are you going to lead us in that discussion?
Sure. Let me get the map out of the way.
You get that? Who's out? You ready?
That was number one.
Yeah. Well, I think we did.
Good. You're a better man than I am.
Get that one out. Okay, this is a fun time. You see the list we have here. I believe, at least according to my nomenclature here, this one here is going to be eliminated.
Yes.
Okay, so no one has a problem.
We'll just kind of eliminate that one there.
Not having much. Mark, I just
did it. Okay.
On the first one.
And number five is eliminated, too. That may have been before you came in.
It was. Well, I had that as a low, possibly eliminate. Did you say we are going to eliminate?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Okay, now we're down to 11. And remember, we're trying to come up with a realistic list because the Planning Commission, their fortunes to get maybe 6-7 of these done, and then you always want to add, council generally will add one or two during the year to the list. You know, something really comes up. And how many did you have this last year? Maybe 3 or 4 came up. Just had to be looked at. So, which is not bad, but again, it. Expansion of the comprehensive plan. Have we got that all resolved? Planning Commission's done with it. Council wanted to talk about it and get some direction.
I think we answered the questions, and they just
back to council's hand. So that one is then eliminated off their list. Open space element.
Roger, if council's going to talk about it and decide what to do, it may come back to the commission once council talks about it. If they want to expand the study,
well, then we'll have to squeeze it in because we're not going to make it part of this action plan because we don't know it's part of the action plan yet. We'll take the positive road, assume that council will deal with it.
Well, that's the first one we talked about at length.
Right.
And I thought, Bill, that we agreed pretty much that, you know, your recommendations, come on, send it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore,
well, then we deal.
So that's right. We will deal with it.
Right. Okay. It's already been to council once.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll send it back to council. Open space element, that's going to still have a small amount of review by the Planning Commission, hopefully this summer.
Right.
Hopefully. So that's still state number one.
I think we said that was a high.
And so the only reason I say keep it number one because it's already in progress and it's working its way there. So that's number one. Okay, what's number two? We said this was going to be a low one.
Right.
Number four was going to be a high one. I'll just help by putting some highs and lows here. Number six was going to be high. It was going to be only the zoning ordinance.
Right.
Family was medium to high.
Next one's low.
That was going to be low.
Next one is high. Next one is high.
And this
we got rid of the next two, right? 5 and 6 we get rid of?
Yeah, I thought we eliminated 5.
We eliminated 5 and 6.
Okay, 5 is eliminated?
Yep, 5 is eliminated, 6 is eliminated.
Now, I think 5 is eliminated because we're not going to be able to get to it this year. It's still there, but it's so low that it's just not going to be able to get there, so we'll take that.
7 is high.
And the 7 is high. Okay. Now, just so you know, this one here can be done very quickly. That's something that we'll still have to go before the Planning Commission, they'll still have to work on, but it's something that staff, we've already got the plan done, it's just implementing from the northeast and northwest area.
Which one's that?
This one right here.
Old Aiken.
It's part of the Old Aiken Master Plan. We want the elements to go ahead put it into a modified historic district.
Let's just need to look at it and see what we're missing.
Huh? correct. It's basically advertising, looking at the plan, make sure that the elements that we have already set up for the eastern side would be appropriate for the northeast and northwest area of the city in Old Bay.
Okay, it's number two. Very good.
I'd like to suggest that we go back and look at number six, where we talked about what we should be.
Four is two, Roger.
I'm sorry. I got so excited about wanting to make number two, too. Thank you.
Oh, we really shut down the Oak Street parking.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you. Jay would be so proud of me.
Speaking of Jay, she did ask, she can't be here tonight, but she did ask that we consider the size of buildings in the LP zone. Is that appropriate for this group, or is that something that should be handled separately?
It all depends if it's going to be low, medium, or high. Y'all know what we're talking about. This is the size of buildings
and parking areas
and parking in the LP zones.
5,100 meters.
That could be number eight. I don't know the issues.
And the issue you could probably think of would be Fallbrook and Richland, that corner lot. Mm-hmm. How much building and how much parking can we get in there adequately? And help these up. Should we go ahead and restrict the size of the building based on the lot and the parking lot together? Or hardscape? How much hardscape would you have? That was one of her questions. The other one, that was one. The other one that she had mentioned the other day was the tree ordinance, and should we review the tree ordinance and the policies that we have related to those once the trees are planted? You know, the crate murder situation that we've been dealing with. That was the tree ordinance. Last time we did this, we had one person actually go through the whole thing and review it and come back with a recommendation.
Yeah, you did a good job.
You did a great job.
Fresh blood, fresh blood.
And that was what, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
No, about 7 years.
Seven.
6 years. Really?
That was early, about 7 years.
Was it that long ago? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It seemed like yesterday.
Time flies, yeah.
So it's, again, one of those things you almost have to zero in once in a while.
You're the registered expert.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
These were brought up at the last council meeting by Jane Bonner, who came here tonight, as possible additions. So, do we have a high, medium, or low on either of these two?
I think when I go away,
excuse me?
How about low on both of them?
I'm seeing a lot of nodding their heads here.
I'm just comparing it to all the other highs we had here. Seems to me that number seven that we talked about on other issues. The Wilkins went into
this one right here.
This is pretty significant.
Yeah.
And we lose some of those properties.
Yeah, I think that needs to be up there.
Somewhat of a consensus making this number three.
Mm-hmm. If I might ask the question, it seems to me we need to be asking Ed too. Ed, what do you see on some of these? And what do you visualize maybe some of our problem areas here that we could get into trouble in some way by not having something covered? Did you have thoughts on that? Maybe that helps us to decide whether we want in order of what priority we want.
I think the inoperable vehicle number four on the first page, it's been hanging around so long that that needs to be taken care of as quickly as possible. And I think the Old Bacon overlay, because it's so hopefully simple, we could do that quickly.
So that would be number three, is it? Or you've already got three and four.
Yeah, right here.
Two.
It would be number four, I guess we're good.
Okay, so make the inoperable vehicles number four.
The Old Lake and Master Plan's status is important just because you don't want that to just sit on the shelf and not go anywhere.
So Old Lake and the master plan is 5.
Here, we're moving forward.
And we would have to be 6 of us.
Review of definition of family.
No. This is a high, or you got definition of family. That could be number 6. Since this is already number 6, and we need number 6, we'll just keep it as number 6. Makes it easy.
Family with yourself.
There is number 7.
Those are the ones that kind of stand out to me.
Not that number 7 on the other list.
Well, I mean, the part about the number 1 aspect of that, which you dealt with in the Grant Barley issue and the accessory building, and the idea of limiting the amount of impermeable surface on a lot was dealt with heavily by the Planning Commission and rejected. And we fell back to a different approach, which you ended up adopting. So this idea of going back to that, because so much agony literally went into that whole issue, I wouldn't be excited about getting into that. I don't think the commission would.
That study showed that hardscape is not a problem today. I mean, there may be a couple of exceptions here or there, but by and large, the footprint study we did said it's not a problem. But we certainly didn't deal with what could happen, you know, in these properties if they were sold and that type of thing.
The number 2 aspect of that is of more importance, I think, to me, anyway, personally, if I understand what Wilkins is saying about losing these large properties, you know, that are in trust that might disappear and be developed.
Oh, okay.
That's the important one to me.
I mean, you had one of your planning staff spend about $100 looking at every property out there, if I recall correctly.
Related to number 1.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Lots of
number 2 is that's time. Important.
Part of that.
I'm not sure where are we.
I'll get there in a second. This is more on large lots than we can look at. Where we're at right now is number 1 is the open space. Number 2 is expand Old Lake overlay. Number 3 is the one we just talked about. But looking more is losing the open space, the large lots type of tracks. Number 4 is the inoperable vehicles. Number 5 is the Old Lake master plan status. 6 is going to be looking at the zoning ordinances. That in itself, I'll just tell you that if we look at this one here, it could take a lot of time. It would probably, because that zoning ordinance, as you can see, Ed's book has a lot of inserts that would have to be looked at. And it's going to take time. And then number 7, if we got to it, would be family. And I got to get to that next year. It's going to be fun. So that's what we have. That'd be the top 7. If you feel comfortable with that, that'll come to City Council probably in May. And it really starts in the next fiscal year of July 1. They have plenty to do until July 1. It's only 2 months away, 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Roger, open space and number 1.
Number 1.
Okay,
number 1. And then number 2 over here. Number 3, which way your number 7. Number 4, the vehicles. 5 is the master plan status. Then 6 is the zoning ordinance, which literally, and I'm not saying this facetiously, could take many months. We'd probably be broken down into sections or phases, just because some of the issues are just grammatical almost, but some of the major issues that you could get involved with. And then number 7 would be the family. And what we will do is Ed and his staff will look at it, because some of this is going to take a lot of preparation time by staff, some of it doesn't take a lot of preparation time. All these, Ed, none of these this year, I believe, involve a consultant here, though.
That's correct.
Yeah. And just so you know where we're at, we're still working on this development, his staff, on the open space element. We are working on a number of transportation planning studies, which
although it's not involved with the Planning Commission directly involving the end result, it's involving a lot of staff time. One of them is Dory Road that we got a grant on. Another one is Route 19, went up to I-20 we got a grant on. Another one is taking the entire north side of Aiken, probably about a 16 square mile area, and looking at all the future roads that we may ever have up there. A real major study. And the fourth one is looking countywide at doing a transportation analysis, which again involves us. Each one of these will have a consultant, but it's working with a consultant to make sure they're going in the right direction. It takes staff time. I don't know of any other ones that we're using a consultant. Oh, the historic survey we're going to do this next year.
And Roger Dyer analyzing Whiskey Road signals. Yes.
Which we do have a grant already on. Stay this one.
What are we doing up with number two on your chart, off street parking?
That's a low priority, did not make the list. These are the ones that did not make the list.
Okay.
Two on the board.
Oh, and these two on the board.
Okay.
Bill, Mayor?
That's fine. And we're, of course, we'll still capture those because they were important enough to be on the list to start with. At some priority.
Right. Some future time.
They'll be in the record so that
you'll see
when planning finishes it all, then they can pick up on some of these. That didn't make the top seven.
My children's and
are we involved in much discussion as it relates to high speed rail coming from Columbia to Atlanta and from Atlanta to Charlotte and Augusta and connecting with all those?
No.
I went to a conference in Myrtle Beach and all that was discussed.
Well, thank you all for coming.
Thank you. Roger,
you're not a wonder. Oh, well.